Wake up, everybody. Welcome into the simulation. You know, as David Icke likes to say, if you have a higher level of consciousness, those are the people that are able to break out of this. And that's what we try to do here on this show. So thank you guys so much for joining us here at Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We've got a busy show. We're going to look at the inconsistencies and oddities around Charlie Kirk's murder.
Sorry, they can't hear you right now. Okay. I hit the wrong button. So now you have some background music. My bad.
Okay.
Carry on.
Are we live now?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the simulation. As David Icke likes to say, those with a higher level of consciousness can break free of this simulation. And that's what we try to do here on Redacted, which is try to seek the truth no matter where it leads us, even if it makes us uncomfortable. We're going to look at the inconsistencies in Charlie Kirk's murder and the investigation. What is the FBI not telling us? Why are they telling us weird stuff, inconsistencies? And is this part of a larger deep state operation? Maybe Operation Gladio, perhaps? We'll talk about that.
Have I said my name yet? Have I said
anything? I don't know.
I have to sneeze. Okay. So we also are going to talk about, let's see, weather manipulation that has been confirmed by Congress. We're also going to talk about whether or not the media is going to pay for all the lies that they have disseminated over the last couple of years. Now, President Trump launching a massive lawsuit against the New York Times. Now, the FCC saying they're looking at ABC because of lies about the Charlie Kirk alleged shooter. Is this a comeuppance? Is this even legal? Do we want to see this? We're going to talk this out thoroughly, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we are. And we're going to also talk about the Fed. The Fed just further devalued the U.S. dollar today. Get buckle up for that, because now your U.S. dollars, if they're sitting in a savings account, going to be worth less over the coming years. There's like really a 4 to 5 year timetable right now for the U.S. dollar decline. So, yes, Fed cuts interest rates. What does that mean for the U.S. dollar? It means the U.S. dollar goes down. So we'll look at all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends at IQ Bar, because the Ultimate Sampler Pack is a great way to try all IQ Bar products and flavors. You get 9 IQ Bars, 8 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks. Now, these are something I am always have in my purse. I think I've told you that my son suffers from migraines, so he needs electrolytes on the go all the time. So these are in my makeup bag. It's a great way to make sure, and you know, for anybody who doesn't, to make sure that you have your electrolyte balance, that you are in balance in all ways. IQ Mix is a zero sugar drink mix that hydrates with electrolytes. It helps improve mood and boost clarity. IQ Joe is a jitter-free instant coffee pack with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine. It comes in 4 different flavors that are better than any brewed coffee, and there are plenty of flavor combinations to choose from with IQ Bar. And again, these are just things we keep on hand because we have 3 kids. You never know when one's going to get hungry. The bars are great too. They come in all manner of flavors. So try them out for yourself. If you text Redacted to 64000, that's 64000, you'll get 20% off your purchase plus free shipping. Again, text Redacted to 64000 and try them out. Make sure you let them know that Redacted sent you, because we're big fans of these in our house. IQ Bar.
We are, indeed. My son eats one just about every night. All right. Well, the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk, Tyler Robinson, sat stone-faced in court yesterday. He was officially charged with murder, could face the death penalty in the state of Utah. He will not be released on bail, and his next hearing is at the end of September. There he was, just sort of sitting via Zoom, stone-faced, wearing a bulletproof vest. Meanwhile, the FBI released a text thread from Tyler Robinson yesterday. The thread is allegedly between Tyler and his trans lover roommate. The text thread is not what we would call convincing. It was apparently sent right after the shooting.
Quote, although we're not sure on that. There's not a timestamp, and it doesn't quite make sense. We're going to talk about this, but the way that they talk is as if the shooting has just happened, but then he references things that the FBI tells us happened the next day. So let's just put a pin in that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, take it from here.
Okay, so here's a couple people are saying, number one, young people don't text like this with capital letters and punctuation. In my experience, that's true. But okay, that's just one reason to ask questions. Also, it's, you weren't the one who did it, right? I am. I'm sorry. That seems a little cavalier for like, wait, what? You don't call after that? You keep texting and you say, I left a note. I said exactly how I did it. I'm writing it all here and then delete this later. How stupid do you have to be? There's all kinds of, you know, he says he wishes he could have taken this to the grave. He's saying I need to go back for the weapon, but oh well, I can't lose the weapon. There's a lot that just doesn't add up about this. Now, the liberal media is trying to convince us that what we're witnessing is a very sweet gay love story. To the tune of, like, this should have been on Netflix. These two lovers were the sweetest things we ever saw. Watch ABC News calling the text thread very touching because the killer refers to his, the alleged killer says to his roommate, you are my love and I'm trying to protect you. Okay.
We have seen an alleged murder with such specific text messages about the alleged murder weapon, where it was hidden, how it was placed, what was on it. But also, it was very touching in a way that I think many of us didn't expect. A very intimate portrait into this relationship between the suspect's roommate and the suspect himself, with him repeatedly calling his roommate who was transitioning, calling him my love, and I want to protect you, my love. So it was this duality.
Yeah, okay. So touching. Anyway, but here's where things get even more strange. He didn't confess to authorities, but investigators say he had confessed in a note, but that note was destroyed. But they have forensics of its existence. Like, what in the world? You know what? We want to bring in Owen Schroyer now to help us make sense of all of this and talk about some of these inconsistencies and kind of piece all of this together. Owen, your first time here on the show in a while under your new... under your new digs. Great to have you back on the show, my friend. Welcome back.
Well, I was honored to get the invite, and in my little interim time off here before I launch my own show, we don't have to compete against each other in the same time slot, so it's nice to actually be able to join you guys live today.
I know, you're always on at the same time as us, so it was difficult getting you on here, so thrilled that you're here. Great to have you. So wait, let's just talk about some of these inconsistencies and kind of unpack some of these things here. So let's just talk about this note. The FBI saying we had this note, we confirmed it through forensics, but now that note's been destroyed. That's one big piece of this. Can you maybe, what do you think about that piece of this story?
Well, when we heard Kash Patel's explanation of the note, it was almost so nonsensical that to me, I kind of just said, okay, this is nonsense, and then ignored it. Because what I've learned in my career in media and trying to hunt down the truth in a world of lies is that people are always going to try to throw distractions at you, right? It's kind of like if you're moving in on somebody or you're trying to escape somebody and you throw a rock over here so it makes a noise, so they look over here, it's like, oh, what was that over here? You just threw a rock over there, and then you escape out the back door. So right. I've kind of been trained that whenever somebody, you know, throws the object to get you to look over there while they escape out the back, you don't look over there. You stay focused on what it is that you're looking at and what it is that you're looking for. Now, having said that, obviously I did look into that. Whatever Cash's explanation of that was, it sounded nonsensical. Maybe it made sense in his own way, or he just, you know, didn't really communicate it well. But nonetheless, when you actually read the letter, it makes even less sense. And how perfectly convenient that it seems to tie up all the loose ends of the official narrative. Isn't that
yes.
quite convenient as well? And then this is a guy who's apparently just killed somebody, and he's afraid of being grounded by dad. Oh, no, what's going to happen when I get home to dad and grandpa's rifle is gone? I'm going to get grounded. So right. that doesn't
You've
add
got
up
bigger
to me
fish to
either.
Fry. Yeah.
Okay, wait, let's talk about this, because here's a major inconsistency, is that we are told that the parents saw pictures of the rifle and the silhouette of the alleged killer the next day. So we're talking about September 11th, I believe. The killing happened on September 10th. But this chain says he needs to go back for the gun. I've just done this. Oh, no, my dad's calling. But in the timeline, the dad doesn't get suspicious until the next day. So he cannot be texting about something that happens tomorrow.
Well, and see, you've done a little more digging than I had. You listened to the object thrown across the room a little bit more than I had. I did more of a surface level evaluation and realized it was total BS. So, but it sounds like the deeper you go into it, the less and less sense it makes. And you know what I like to do in my analysis too, guys, is I like to do first I do full spectrum analysis and then I do possibility spectrum. And so when I think about the note, this is my possibility spectrum, in my opinion. My possibility spectrum is maybe the boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the situation was with this lover, this partner, maybe there was some other involvement, and the partner of the alleged assassin decided that they were going to concoct this stuff to try to clear maybe their own name or other people's names. So maybe they concocted this thing to try to throw the scent of the FBI off of maybe some other people that might have been involved.
Or, right, that's possible, because if they live together, then I can go in Clayton's computer and have a text chain with myself, right? Because iMessage syncs across devices. But he also talks about, because in the indictment it says that the family brings over this family friend who was an ex-sheriff or law enforcement, and they try to talk him into confessing. Now, this is referenced in the text chain, which seems to have happened the day before. So how does he know this is going to happen? And why are, I mean, they're not giving us timestamps on this text chain. So right. that well, none of that adds up.
And clearly it's, you know, it is fabricated. Now, that doesn't mean that the text might not have actually happened, but what they presented to us is basically a fabrication. So that gives me to the other end of the possibility spectrum, which is this was just concocted by the FBI. Now, right. that could mean that it was concocted by the FBI whole cloth and it has no basis in reality, or it was concocted by the FBI after having a conversation or two and they try to recreate a note or a conversation that was had, whatever, and then they present it to the American public in the fashion that they see best to fit whatever it is that they're trying to sell us. But either way, I look at it as a distraction at this point. And, you know, I would still say, I don't know, the whole thing is so crazy right now, it's hard to reach any conclusions other than a few conclusions that I think it's fair to reach at this point. But, you know, I would say, you know, maybe the FBI has reached the right conclusion. Maybe the FBI has given us the right final conclusion, which is this was a left-wing assassin. So maybe that might be the case. I'm not convinced of that. That might be the odds-on favorite. But it seems like the route that they took to get there was goofy. It was silly. It was goofy. And maybe the FBI just botched this thing so badly, and law enforcement botched it. And maybe it was just botched so badly from the beginning that they're just kind of sitting there in this embarrassing moment like, guys, we got to give them something. We got to give them something. We got to cut.
Well, they absolutely botched it from the beginning. I mean, they, quote unquote, you know, arrested the wrong guys, put out a press release, went out right to the podium, said we got them, only to release them later. But there's also this narrative about his clothing. I want to talk about this clothing piece of this, which is strange on its own. So surveillance shows Robinson in a maroon T-shirt, light shorts, black cap before the shooting, apparently, allegedly. But then prosecutors say he changed outfits. And we talked to former FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin, who said this is part of the process. You would change outfits, like to throw people off your trail, change a ball cap, whatever, right? That would be par for the course.
Sure. Jason Bourne does that.
Yeah. Then after the attack. But then only then later to put on the very same maroon shirt and black shorts back on by the time he was arrested. Like, what in the world? It doesn't make any sense. Changing to hide evidence and then returning to the original look that you had when you were on camera and you showed up. Like, that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, and neither does the assembling, disassembling, reassembling, all that doesn't seem to make any sense to anybody either. Yeah, none of it adds up, and I think that that's why people are sitting here, you know, let's say conspiracy theorizing, because the official story just doesn't add up. That's a fact. And to me, the biggest smoking gun here, no pun intended, but to me, the biggest smoking gun is the footage that we're not seeing, right? Why aren't we seeing the footage of all the security cameras on campus that he was definitely on at some point? The footage of him getting up onto the roof. Why aren't we seeing the HD footage that was right there, right next to Charlie, right, when he was shot, including the most important video in my mind, which is the HD footage from behind him? And this is a very important distinction to make for people that aren't in media. You know, you might not understand all this. I'm not trying to be insulting, but you have to understand, you have people there that are live streaming, and you have the Turning Point live streaming this event. But then you have HD cameras that are just filming, meaning they're getting full 4K resolution, as clear of a picture you can get. I count at least three of those filming at the time, and we have seen none of that footage, including the most important video footage, which was the HD camera set up right behind Charlie, where if you actually go back, when they destroyed the crime scene, which, by the way, was like a crime in and of itself, what they did to the crime scene, the first thing that happens is they go and they take that camera down. Who has that footage? That is the most important footage for this entire story. Who has that footage? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, I demand that footage, and if you don't give us that footage, then it's your fault. Maybe they're holding it for a reason, and maybe they'll deliver it at some point, but they haven't yet. And to me, no, that's we need the biggest
full,
thing.
We need full transparency. Yeah, it was right after the event. As soon as he's carted off by those six individuals who carry him to the SUV, they immediately start taking that camera off of the tent. I think there was two cameras there. The one right behind him, they start disassembling and taking off. Who has that camera? Who has that footage?
I think one was a camera, and I think one was an audio receiver. That's what I see when I look at it. I think one is the camera, one is an audio receiver. But either way, it doesn't change. That we know at least one of those is a camera, and that is the ultimate footage. That is the ultimate footage.
And why give us a still shot at all? They have the ability to give us him walking down the stairs, and they're saying he was limping because it seems like there was something in his pants, and so he couldn't bend his knee. But then in the images, he's bending his knee. So give us the footage. Let us see that for ourselves.
This is
the year 2025. We can download video.
Yep. And think about it like this, too, because you know what? Now that you say that, I hadn't even thought about this before. So that means at some point he jumps off the roof. And in this video, the gun is concealed, right? We don't see the gun. Maybe it's broken down in a bag. Maybe it's down his leg. It doesn't look that way, but we really don't know, right? But then later, we're told in the private security video, by the way, the most important videos we got here didn't come from the government. They came from private sources. So that's a little odd too. But so the security camera, it's on a doorbell. I believe it's a Ring camera, where that's the one where he's limping. And it looks like he's got the gun barrel down his leg. So again, it's like, well, then what is going on here? So he has it down his leg, and then he disassembles it, and then he shoots it, and then he reassembles. Like, it just, none of it makes any sense. And they can't even, and they haven't even tried to lay out a linear timeline of events with evidence to sell us this official narrative. Now, again, maybe they will, and they'll prove that they've reached the conclusions for the right reasons, and they can prove it all to the American people, but they haven't yet. And there's way too many glaring holes in the official narrative that make it look like we're being lied to.
Colonel Towner Watkins, friend of the show, she's done incredible research on Operation Gladio. We've interviewed her on the show, retired U.S. Air Force, brilliant, brilliant woman. About the leave behind armies, the NATO terrorists leave behind armies. I just want to put this tweet that she posted up here because it speaks to what we were just talking about, like by being distracted by other things. She said, for those of you focused on where the bullet came from, the towel, the gun in the backpack or note, you're doing exactly what those behind the assassination want you to do. You miss the big picture on purpose. In the big picture, she says, Operation Gladio conducted assassinations, terror attacks, bombings, etc. They were orchestrated to control you. The government intelligence agencies, NATO, stay behind assets have either created or infiltrated every organization left, right, and center. They orchestrated the far right violence. See PatCon as an example. They orchestrated the far left violence. It's called the strategy of tension, she says. They use this to control you, this fear. And I feel that. I absolutely feel that she's right. They're using this right now. They're giving us little drips and drabs of information, and then we get distracted by the note, we get distracted by the gun, we get distracted by the camera. There is a larger narrative playing out here.
Yeah, and that's why, as I was explaining earlier, I'm focused on the things that we can see, at least the best to our ability with the footage we have, which is Charlie that day. And I mean, my God, it's gruesome footage. I mean, God bless all of our souls, and God bless Charlie's family. That they had to see that, the kids. I mean, I can't even imagine, but you know, we're forced to sit there, and that's what I've been focused on, is examining that. And to me, I believe that we're looking at an exit wound. I'm convinced by experts in ballistics. I'm convinced by experts in guns and shooting. We're talking about Marine snipers. I mean, you know, top level ballistics snipers, everything. And they've convinced me that is an exit wound.
So coming from behind him?
No, from his neck. So let me see if this jives with
what
we've...
The entry wound would be, what it appears to me is that the entry wound is behind his right ear, and the exit wound is the gruesome wound that we see in the front of his neck.
Ah. Okay.
But so he falls backwards.
Hold on, let me just
So here's why that would happen. If he gets hit in the back and the bullet hits his brain or spinal cord, the first thing your body does is seize up. So okay. I think that's why that would have happened. And if you watch the video frame by frame, what you'll see is, and this gets to where I debunk the body armor argument. I'd say I'm 99.9% convinced that this is the case. And if you watch it frame by frame, you'll see what I'm talking about, or you've watched my reports. Charlie Kirk has an earpiece in his right ear. The earpiece, like much like the one I have in right here, has a wire that runs behind his ear. Now, for this event, and this happens a lot of times for people that do live media and such, the wire is going to go down around his neck, and it's going to come back around over here to the other side, and it's going to go down here. He then clips his microphone on his shirt. That's the microphone. That's clipped to the earpiece wire, and then the earpiece wire runs back down here to whatever the audio source is. Now, so that's why when people see the shirt anomalies, they think it's body armor. That's just an earpiece. Now, there's an angle that you can see. I covered it on my show where you can clearly see the moment of impact. The earpiece flies out. That's what causes the shirt to raise up like this, because the earpiece wire flies out. And then, of course, the mic goes flying and it has that weird shape in the shirt because that is an audio wire. That is an earpiece wire. And so to me, that's what debunks the body armor. Plus, you can see him walking around before, you know, he's got a very lightweight shirt on, and you can see, I mean, you can see his chest, you can see his nipples. So I don't believe there's any body armor there. I believe he was directly shot in the neck, and you can see, to me, the moment of impact, the earpiece flies out, the wire flies up, and then the exit wound.
Okay. Fascinating. Well, yeah, we still need confirmation on this soft body armor using one of those like sort of maybe perhaps tire tactical body armors. They're very lightweight, that are meant for like handgun protection, that look like a, you know, no sleeves. And so I think we're still waiting on that confirmation. And
why would you have body armor that leaves your nipples exposed?
It's great questions. These are all the things we're still grappling with.
It's like a nursing bra. I don't think that's a thing.
Owen, thank you so much for this. You fired up a lot of people in the chat room, and I think, you know, I want a full transparency. I want full transparency investigation. I know some people in Washington, D.C. right now very much pushing the White House to make sure that we get a full transparent investigation from the FBI, but God knows, with the history of everything we've been dealing with, if are we going to get a transparent investigation? I don't know. Owen, great to see you, my friend. Thank you so much. Good luck with the new show. When does it launch?
October 6th, the Owen Report, 3 to 6 p.m. Central weekdays. Really excited for it. And thank God now we're in the internet age, so people can still watch both of our shows. You know, they can go back and watch yours or mine later.
Indeed.
All right.
Owen, great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being a contemporary. Cheering you on.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Owen. All right, still a lot of questions. You know, people have their theories, certainly in the chat room. People like saying, which, this is absolutely IDF. Fine. This is Mossad. This is absolutely Mossad. Again, we want the evidence. Please show us the evidence.
We're in a time, I think we're doing this respectfully. Like, we care about this person and care about getting the truth. So we should walk all avenues right now. We should hope that the government was walking all avenues. But in the absence of that kind of transparency, please don't get upset if the narrative that you've locked into is not the one we're exploring today. We want to walk all avenues, and your case weakens over time. So we got to stick with this. I feel very strongly that you can't lock into any narrative right now.
Well, and Kay Gee in our chat says they're all liars. They're liars. Well,
who?
I mean, I don't know exactly. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people are liars. But like, what specifically are they lying about? Like, please don't just throw out liars. Like, bad dad bod in the chat just says they're liars. Well, who's lying? Is the FBI? Like, what? Then what is the truth? Like, if you have access to this information, have you called the FBI to give them your information? Like, you know, be specific about it.
Somebody says we will never know the truth. But don't you think we know the truth about JFK? We kind of know, right? I'm pretty sure we've figured that one out because we stuck together, not because the government told us. So that's what we're going to do. You're staying here with us and we're going to walk the scene.
Philip, go ahead.
What frustrates me is it seems like right from the get-go, all the government was interested in was optics. They just cared how it looked, how it sounded. And they didn't, like, the truth was, it didn't even occur to them to actually look into what happened. It was like the narrative and the spin was the first thing they went for.
Yeah.
Cash Patel was there. Like, what's he going to do? He's not an investigator, you know?
Right.
No, yeah. As a former FBI, whistleblower Kyle Serafin said on our show yesterday, absolutely, 100%. Like, they went out there with a false narrative, and then they tried to basically drum up information, when Cash Patel was going to look bad, find something on these guys, find something on these guys. So, yeah, it was all about optics.
But that's a lot of what we get from those guys. They were on the scene in Boulder, Colorado, when that shirtless dude just sprayed some fire, right? Like, we're there. This guy planned it for a year. We better be there. This is what we get, is them hopping on planes and trying to convince us that they're on it. And then we don't get a straight answer on these kind of things.
Someone in the chat says, okay, yeah, 40 years from now, we might get a straight answer. I don't know. Well, coming up next, we're finally getting some straight answers on weather manipulation and cloud seeding by our government. Someone who's devoted his life to getting these answers, finally, we're getting answers in Congress. A hearing yesterday at the House of Representatives, Marjorie Taylor Greene and others demanding answers about cloud seeding. Dane Wigington is going to be joining us. From geoengineeringwatch.org, he's been, devoting his life to get this information out there about the harmful toxins that are being sprayed into our air. We're going to talk with Dane about this hearing and what revelations we learned from Congress yesterday. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Soul. Because, if you're struggling to kind of switch off at night and, you don't want to sit down and have a beer, you don't want to drink alcohol, that's where Soul comes in. They have THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood, help you unwind without any kind of hangovers, any of that stuff. They have their out-of-office gummies and their out-of-office beverages, which are refreshing, alcohol-free, perfect for winding down, just having a nice night with friends out of the back patio, having a barbecue. With wellness at the forefront, you can feel good about what you're putting in your body. All of Soul's products are made from organically farmed, USA-grown hemp. They're vegan, gluten-free, low in sugar, and they're federally legal. So bring on the good vibes and treat yourself. I'm a big fan of these guys. I really like them. I enjoy them regularly. Go to GetSoul.com and get your 30% off your order right now. Just try a six-pack or try their out-of-office gummies. And just get 30% off your order if you use the code REDACTED. That's GetSoul.com, promo code REDACTED, get 30% off. They'll ship it right to your door. You will thank me later. I'm telling you, you will thank me later. Well, I can't believe we're finally having a congressional hearing on cloud seeding and weather manipulation, something we've been covering here on Redacted for years. During yesterday's hearing, in the House of Representatives, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, he really kicked it off and sounded the alarm on cloud seeding. Watch.
For years, anybody who questioned weather modification was labeled crazy or a conspiracy theorist. Now we've learned that they've been doing it for decades. And not only is it a multi-billion dollar industry, the government has invested a lot of Americans' hard-earned tax dollars into it. They've been forced to spin it, and apparently it is now the only way we are going to save humanity. However, let's look at the risk. According to GAO, injecting a cloud with silver iodide increases precipitation anywhere from 0 to 20%. It could be even more, but the truth is that we really don't know for certain.
Yeah, and that's really at the heart of all of this, right? We don't know for certain, and they're just telling us. So you've been lying to us for years about it, and now you're telling us, it could be 0, it could be 20%. Really? Okay, there's absolutely no way to measure the effectiveness, Marjorie Taylor Greene said. Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org. I highly encourage you to watch his incredible documentary called The Dimming, which you can find at his website as well. Dane is back with us today. Obviously, Dane, I know you've been in contact with members of Congress. You've been very big part of these hearings on Washington. So first, just at a high level, this has got to feel good in some way, right? That finally we're shedding a light on this in Congress.
Mike Clayton, Natalie, pleasure to join you both. Thank you both for your voice on important issues as the one you just covered. And this certainly, which will very soon be the bottom line issue for anything and everything. If we don't deal with what's happening in our skies, all other causes and concerns will soon be moot points. I wish I could share the upbeat feeling some might have about yesterday's meeting. In fact, that meeting, because it lacked credibility in so many ways, moved the fight backward, not forward.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and there's many state representatives that tried to reach her on behalf of geoengineeringwatch.org for the last 2 months, and their team, their group would not respond. And her, even with her intro that you just played, conflated climate engineering and cloud seeding as being one and the same. They are not. It's an ant compared to an elephant. So she did more to muddy the water in yesterday's meeting than to move the fight forward. Further, MTG went on to claim that this administration has been, quote, transparent on this issue, that Lee Zeldin has been transparent on this issue. All Lee Zeldin has done is regurgitate the official denial that this is just condensation in our skies, and other top administration officials have claimed that this is just a jet exhaust issue. It's just in the jet fuel, which is a blatant lie. We have up close, none of this information, which I'm about to state, was covered by Ms. Green. She was discussing the cloud seeding airplanes that disperse perhaps 4 or 5 pounds of silver iodide, never mentioned a military tanker like a KC-135 that can dump 100 tons of extremely toxic aluminum, never mentioned, in a single payload, 40 to 60 million tons a year annually dropped based on hundreds of lab tests that we took with University of Minnesota, so we're not guessing. We have up-close photographs of the nozzles on these aircraft on the wing pylons to make this look like jet exhaust. Again, we're being blanketed with toxic elements. None of that brought up. And she further then implicates, again, regurgitated, ridiculous denial. Lee Zeldin did the same. The Make Sunsets group, which was two PR clowns from Silicon Valley that launched 147 balloons. It would take literally, mathematically, because of the amount that those balloons carry, 10 grams, it would take 10 million balloons to equal one payload from a U.S. military tanker. None of that discussed. And in fact, and I'll leave it at this, Clayton and Natalie, most of Marjorie's meeting yesterday was a discussion of her disbelief that there's anything wrong with the planet at all. And what does that do? Just like you two discussed driving wedges into society with the subject you broached on a moment ago, that very successfully alienates everyone that knows anything about the environment. Her denial that there's anything wrong with the environment, very successful wedge so that that community connects anyone who mentions geoengineering to someone who denies all the other forms of damage to the planet. So that's basically the premise or the foundation of her meeting yesterday. It moved the fight backward, not forward.
Jeez.
But she is introducing a bill in order to either stop this or get government transparency. What do you think of her legislative efforts?
Again, a bill that will never pass when her lead punch is to alienate half the people we need to vote for that bill. And that's exactly what she did. So again, although I know and recognize all these state bills, and I'm working with, as you two correctly stated, numerous state legislations, I'm going to be remoting in to give testimony in some of these states to make sure they stay in a correct compass heading. And even though we know the bills already passed have not stopped these operations, they still matter symbolically. But in order to pass that bill, you don't make your lead punch to alienate half the people we need to vote for that bill. So for MTG to state that the damage to the planet already done, much of it from climate engineering, in fact, paradoxically, is just a, quote, hoax, again, immediately alienates everyone that knows anything about the environment. And as far as a hoax for MTG, perhaps she should consider that right now, today, we've lost 80 to 90% of Earth's insect populations. Climate engineering, a huge part of that. It's destroying the ozone layer. No, it's not getting better. So we're being bombarded with intense UV radiation. It's killing plankton, insects across the board. 80 to 90% drop today, right now. Wildlife populations down 75% in the last 40 years alone from an already depleted population. And Natalie and Clayton, you guys have heard about the bees this year, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
70% decline. Sounds bad. Is bad. But what's the real story? Again, that's a 70% decline of a population that was already down 80%. So we're down to single digit percentages of the population of pollinators. And that's being passed off as a hoax. Again, those kinds of statements will alienate so many that we need in this battle. So she didn't build bridges. She burned them. And it's really unfortunate that she cannot distinguish, or the meeting did not distinguish, the difference between cloud seeding and climate engineering. Again, completely different animals. And we do know that climate engineering on that scale is extremely effective from Project Popeye in Vietnam. This is historical record, so successful at completely altering the hydrological cycle that in 1976, global environmental modification treaties were passed to forbid weather modification in wartime, but not over a country's own population. So we absolutely have a historical record. But the reason that meeting was so weak, so incorrect, and so not credible was because they were intermingling these two issues, which don't belong together. And we had what amounted to carbon fuel industry lobbyists there that were, and also those that were denying any efficacy of weather modification, cloud seeding, which is not climate engineering. There was no solid compass heading in this meeting at all. And most of it was a debate about whether or not the planet is damaged. And again, anybody who doesn't realize we've damaged the planet is simply not awake.
I know. I was so excited, and given the news cycle, I didn't get a chance to watch the full hearing. And so, you know, I was feeling positive about this. Finally, we're getting some answers in Congress. Finally, this is transparency in front of the American people. But you're right. It seems like we've taken a huge step backwards here to conflate these two issues. Can you maybe lay out how she's making this mistake from climate engineering and the cloud seeding piece for our audience that might be uninitiated?
Again, it's imperative to understand the difference. We are literally comparing an ant to an elephant. So if we look at a single engine propeller driven airplane, which is the localized, publicized cloud seeding operations, they may disperse 4 or 5 pounds of material in a single flight. A military tanker like a KC-135 can carry 100 tons of highly toxic nanoparticles, starting with aluminum, a primary element named in climate engineering patents that showed up in every single rain test we've done over many, many years. Again, aluminum toxic to all life forms, no exception, period. All they discussed yesterday was silver iodide. And to leave out the core components of climate engineering in this entire meeting, it almost, either it was a cluelessly set up meeting or there was some other agenda going on. And regarding even the events of the last week that you discussed before this exchange, I would argue all of it's connected. The biosphere is literally collapsing right now. So for MTG to have her lead punch be a total denial of that, and the desperate moves the power structure is making, and again, what happened on September 10th was truly a desperate move by the power structure, inarguably, it's all connected to the fact that they know they can't maintain this paradigm much longer. They can't afford climate engineering to come to the full light of day, because if it does, if this issue reaches the full light of day, there will be a shockwave around the world when populations everywhere know what their governments have done to them without their knowledge or consent, a climate engineering, weather, chemical, biological warfare experiment without their knowledge or consent. So all of these events are inseparable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And, you know, I can only hope that members of Congress are somehow, I don't know why they're ignoring one of the premier experts in the world, yourself, and purposefully obfuscating this and trying to hide part of this. It doesn't make sense to me. But we see this repeatedly with congressional hearings. I mean, individuals are brought to Washington and they are just like sandbagged. Friend of the show, J.J. Carroll, former Border Patrol agent, he said it was the worst thing he'd ever done, was going to Congress and testifying because it was all a clown show. So we hear this repeatedly during these hearings. So I'm disheartened by it. But Dane, anything we can do to get the message out about this, please let us know. And if there's any way we can connect with our sources here, members of Congress, to you directly so that they can get the proper answers, we will help in any way that we can.
Credibility is key. And again, we know that from photographs online that MTG was closely connected to one of the groups that's advising RFK, who has also pushed the narrative that this is just jet fuel, jet exhaust. That's a regurgitated official denial. And that appears to be the only group that she's garnering her data from. So again, what are the agendas and objectives going on here? I held your optimism. I hope for the best. But when they would not communicate, nobody in her team would communicate with any of the state legislators that were trying to reach her in order to make sure she had a correct compass heading, no response from any of them. So again, and I'll leave it with this, the events in the coming weeks and months will increase in severity to the point that it will become all but impossible to hide the totality of damage that's done and the threat that's posed by what's taking place in our skies. So they will not be able to hide this issue much longer, no matter what or who tries to hide it. So that's, unfortunately, the hard way to get to the truth, but we are going to get there. And thank you both so much for your voices in this all-important battle. that if we don't stop what's happening in our skies, I stress this, nothing else will matter. We're breathing what they're spraying. It's not just disrupting the hydrological cycle. It's toxifying every breath we take, every drink of water, every bite of food. Why isn't MAHA covering that? Why not?
Philip on our team wants to ask you a quick question here. Go ahead, Philip.
Well, yeah, I'm like hearing your assessment of this hearing. What are the odds that like they did this on purpose, sort of like if you were doing a UFO hearing and you bring in the craziest tinfoil hat guy you can as your spokesperson to sort of scuttle the whole point? Like, it seems to me like if
sabotage.
They did no research. Yeah, it's like self-sabotage. Like they're putting this bill out there to destroy any conversation about it.
Great question. And I think extremely on target, because that's exactly what it did. It will simply move this fight backward. Now we have to make up that ground again, but that's a profound question, and thank you, and I would agree.
Dane Wigington, well, we'll keep fighting the good fight. Even if we took five steps backwards, we'll work as a team to move five steps forward again. Dane, great to see you. Please go check out geoengineeringwatch.org. Share the information that Dane and his team have done over the years, and hopefully we can get in the ears of members of Congress to do the right thing. Dane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, will the media pay for lying? President Trump wants to make sure that's the case. Our next guest said this is the year of the defamation lawsuit. He was right. Stay tuned for Lionel Nation. But first, Clayton wants to tell you about our friends over at American Financing.
I do indeed, because the cost of everything is out of control right now. And now that the U.S. dollar is declining thanks to the Fed's rate cuts today, people are relying on credit cards more than ever. If that debt is piling up, you're not alone. Americans collectively own over $1 trillion in credit card debt. And you might have considered reaching out to our friends at American Financing, but hesitated because you don't want to give up, you know, your low mortgage rate right now. Well, there's good news. They've actually created the Smart Equity Loan, a solution designed to help you take control of your finances without touching your current mortgages. Unlike a home equity line of credit, which has varied interest rates, the Smart Equity Loan offers a fixed rate. That means one predictable monthly payment, giving you peace of mind. The phone call takes just 10 minutes to get started. No upfront hidden fees. Call them right now. 866-890-8434. That's 866-890-8434. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. And their NMLS number is 182334, so you can look it up on NMLSConsumerAccess.org if you want more information. APR rates in the fives start at 6.327% for well-qualified borrowers. Once again, call 866-890-8434.
Well, our next guest predicted that this would be the year of the defamation lawsuit. He said, mark my words, and we're here. We marked his words, and he was right. We're going to break down the merits of President Trump's new case against the New York Times for millions. He's suing for millions, he says, because they are liars. Well, they are, but is there merit to this case? But on the subject of defamation and media freedom, because it's a fine line to walk, right? So we have to be diligent about it. Let's start with this one. The media is trying to pretend that the alleged shooter of Charlie Kirk was not a leftist, even though his mother said that he was. Watch Jimmy Kimmel just make up out of his backside that the shooter was allegedly MAGA.
He had some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president
okay,
is
let's,
taking
that, that's
this.
Enough because he, I don't know where he got that from. There were some photoshopped pictures of the alleged shooter where people had put a Trump shirt on, but there was otherwise no indication that he leaned right in any form or fashion. So how can he just make this up? Well, now the head of the FCC, Brandon Carr, says this may be something that the FCC looks into. Can they do that? Watch.
You know, when you look at the conduct that has taken place by Jimmy Kimmel, it appears to be some of the sickest conduct possible. As you've indicated, there are, you know, avenues here for the FCC. So there are some ways in which I need to be a little bit careful because we could be called ultimately to be a judge on some of these claims that come up. But I don't think this is an isolated incident. I mean, you go back to Representative Swalwell, and he had a tweet out last week where he was saying that, you know, emphasizing that Charlie Kirk's killer was a straight white male from a Republican family that voted for Donald Trump.
That's you get the idea that the FCC might look at this. So, okay, where do we stand here? Media freedom, but also punishment? I don't know. Let's bring in Lionel from the Lionel Nation YouTube channel. He is a constitutional expert and a litigator. So what do you think? Can the FCC litigate when someone makes stuff up, or is that up to the marketplace?
Three things. First, God bless Dane Wigington. Number two, billions of dollars. He's suing for billions.
$15 billion.
I like gazillion. There you go. Let's be even more ridiculous with this. And finally, you don't want to get me going on this case involving Tyler Robinson. Believe me when I tell you that. Believe me, this is a joke. You should hear, but that's for later on. So get ready, prepare for that. But friends, I can't believe what I'm saying. Look, I love the president. He's wonderful. That's terrific. That's great. He's out of his mind. The First Amendment is going away. What we have forgotten about is this very simple question. President Trump, have you or anybody really been injured? Libel defamation is when people are injured. Do you know what this man has had thrown at him? He's almost vaccinated from any, you can call him a warlock. You can call him anything. Do you really think, and now he's being charged, by the way, for two things, or he's alleging libel per se and libel per quod. And what he's trying to say is that the information, the allegations are so great that you don't even have to prove damages. Just prove that they were said. Now, a little background. Justices Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas, and I agree with them, have said, let's get rid of this stupid malice hurdle that we're having in cases like this. It may sound great, but this was in 1964, whatever, New York Times against Sullivan, where they had the New York Times, and that's it. There was no internet. Now we got 5 gazillion different platforms. Oftentimes, people, you've got a 15-year-old girl opening up, you know, unboxing a curling iron. She gets 20 million views. This is a different world. People know right now, I can say whatever I want about anybody because of this stupid malice hurdle. So that's got to go. But my friends, have you noticed on X these wonderful thing called notes? Have you seen this? I don't know if anybody, do you know all of the pictures that went up regarding this Jadrool who was alleged to have shot Charlie Kirk? How many wrong pictures and AI of that alone, and people on our side? Do you really want to go into the wild west of defamation? And you're going to be, keep an eye also, you've got Candace. And now she's opened up a new can of worms with Bill Ackman. Wait till you see where that's going. We had Alex Jones, who basically, think about this. Now, I don't want to relitigate that. Please, 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 no. But how many times have you great folks ever said that the official account of something wasn't true? Whether it's 9/11, Vietnam, Watergate, you can say, that's not true. There are some people who, by the way, think that Buzz Aldrin and nobody landed on the moon. Okay, that's your opinion. What happens if Buzz Aldrin says that people are driving by my home at night, doxing me and screaming at me, damn you, Clayton, you did it. And you said, no, wait a minute. All I did was I said I disprove. I don't believe in the moon landing. Yes, but through this derivative, it's defamation.
But now, let's look at what he's saying in the case. He's saying they put out a book that had all kinds of falsehoods. For instance, this one's kind of funny. They said I was only famous because of The Apprentice, but I was famous before that. Well, obviously, why would you get a show like The Apprentice if you weren't already famous? And saying that is clearly a lie. And they were saying that they said so-and-so made my reputation, but I was already made. They said I inherited this money. I didn't make it myself. Those things are lies, but they're dumb. It's so dumb to say.
Right. But are they damaging? See, listen. I can say things all day long about what you've said, the great Dane Wigington. What if somebody says, no, Dane, it's not aluminum, it's strontium. Aha! Sue him! I say, wait a minute. No. Error, errata, is not the same as libel. If somebody, here's what defamation is. You open up a pizza, Natalie and Clayton's pizza parlor extravaganza. Somebody claims they found a dead mouse. It never happened. It ruins your business. You got to shut down because of a lie. It defamed your business. That's the stuff we're talking about. We are using this from Craftmatic to Dominion to go down the list. Now, again, this is lawfare. Listen, I love this president, okay? You also have an attorney general who says that hate crimes are now verboten by the First Amendment. No, they're not. Would you stop this? This is a man who says, I'm going to get rid of lawfare. And basically, what is he doing? It's lawfare. It's ridiculous. We're losing our minds. You all, listen, I don't want to do slippery slope, but folks, we're in the opinionating business. We conversate, my new favorite word. We conversate and opinionate. That's what we do. And in the heat of things, because I want you two guys to go out and do a show, and I want you to turn that heat up. Go, Natalie, turn that heat up. Say something. Well, there's also, you know, if sometimes my favorite also is if something is not per se libel, they'll call it intentional infliction of emotional distress. That's the second tier. That's all, mm-hmm. if all else fails. Listen, I'm scared right now of what's happening. I am afraid, and I want people to pump the brakes and say, now listen, if you say something, if Jimmy Kimmel says something, and this is him, we got to go back to this thing about an opinion. If my opinion, if I'm going out there and I said that Trump is stupid and he's not famous, again, libel is not it's not a foot fault like in tennis. It means you damage somebody. You damage somebody's career. How many times did we say that Biden had Alzheimer's, neurological? We're accusing him of a loathsome disease. As I was saying, in common law, if you accuse a woman of being of unchaste character, somebody of having a loathsome disease, somebody committing a crime, or somebody something that affected their business, that was libel per se. Meaning damages were presumed. You didn't have to prove anything. How many times do we call women all kinds of terrible things? How many times do we accuse Biden, not we, us collectively, but the royal we, accuse Biden of having Alzheimer's and he was senescent and he was there and he's brain dead? Wait a minute. Couldn't that have damaged him? Well, he is. It's an opinion. How many times have we said terrible things about Michelle Obama? And let me tell you something. With all the stuff and all the allegations about her particular demographic, and I'll leave it at that, don't be surprised if one day she comes back and she goes after people. Do you know what this world is going to be when we can't even say stupid stuff? Let me go back to what Lionel said. I don't want defamation to be used for people who say stupid things or wrong things or hurtful things. I want to go after damaging things. And if you're damaged... Listen, if you two great minds try to come up and damage Donald Trump, good luck. They have been after him. He has been accused of everything from the Hindenburg to Epstein to Judge Crater to who shot JR from the beginning. You mean to tell me that this stupid book that nobody read? So anyway, I'm saying good luck for you. Is it a power play? Yes. Are they?
An intimidation tactic, because he was able to finagle a settlement out of CBS, which gave the government an ombudsman inside the network.
Yeah.
Now,
will this damage
a babysitter?
Will this damage the New York Times in any appreciable way? $15 billion.
Well, first of all, they're not going to get. It's not going to be $15 billion. That's it. But the idea is that ultimately they may stipulate to certain aspects and go after damages. Listen, the reason why CBS, and by the way, look who's running CBS now, that's for another story, but the reason why he did that one, Sherry Redstone at that particular time was in the middle of unloading it, and it's like, now's the perfect time. Yes, we'll settle. The whole Dominion thing fascinated me. They didn't even call a witness. That was an immediate settlement. I don't know what that was about either. What also scared me is what happened to Alex Jones, what happened to people in our business for saying things. Now, remember, I'm not saying that defamation doesn't exist. I'm not saying that at all. especially when you're an individual, when you're a civilian, when you're just Joe Blow, and you've really been hurt by this. But my friends, you know, today's National Constitution Day, and most people have no idea what it is. They don't know what it's about. They don't know what the First Amendment is. And they also don't understand that one of the keys of the First Amendment regarding religion is to allow you to do what you want during the free exercise clause, but also to not have a federal religion. We are not a Christian country. We're not a Judeo-Christian country. The Treaty of Tripoli said that. We've got to go back to the basics of love, as Waylon Jennings said. We've got to go back and remind people this is what this is. The First Amendment, and again, I'm going to throw this in. You've got an attorney general who mentions hate crimes. This is the leading, the chief law enforcement. And I think the world of her as a person, but no, absolutely not. This is insanity. So we, through our haste, through our anger, and going after, oh, what about Stephen Miller? We're going to go after, we're going to crush the what? What are you going to crush? This is the government now. Say that again. Let me write this down. You want to what? You want to crush the left. And what's wrong with the left? What's wrong with transgenderism? What's wrong with these negative forces that fuel hate? Well, guess what? We've been accused of that. Or, if we're not now, in an hour we will be, because that's mm-hmm. what we do. We're the right. We're the conservatives. We're the MAGA people, or whatever we are. Now you get into these weird, you've got, as we get into the Nick Fuentes and the Grapers and the Laura Loomers and this and that, and then you've got this, and watch what you hear now. Especially, not to keep changing the subject, but think about this. When you have people talking about Charlie Kirk, who is dead, who, by the way, you cannot defame the dead, but there is turning point. Now you're claiming that he was canned and saddled, threatened by Israel, and that he was a Catholic, and you have a lot of people, these vultures spinning around saying, who moves in to take over TP? I give you 10 causes of action right there. By today's standards, I've got somebody who is now claiming that all of these things, this is going on right now. People are talking about the intimidation factor of Israel. And okay, I think you should be able to express whatever you want. It'd be nice if you could prove it. But when you hit that libel level, it's at such a red hot level. It's got to scream defamation. You've got to say, you've got to do something to stop this. That's another thing too. It's not just pointing the finger and saying you hurt my feelings or you hurt my business, but you've got to stop this speech, because if you don't, lives will be lost, trade secrets, businesses crushed, commerce destroyed. It's a last resort. It's like amputation. It's not a Band-Aid.
Right. But it will have the effect of, you know, chilling the New York Times, maybe making them chill out a little bit. I don't know.
Is that good? Is that good?
In my opinion, the full implosion of the New York Times is good. I don't think it should. Right.
What about if it shows the New York Post? What if it shows the National Review? What if it shows Breitbart? What if it shows?
Oh, I'm not saying. Yeah, you? Right.
I don't like right, that. Listen, right.
If it you don't should like, be listen. Us that crashes the New York Times. It should be the people who says, you've lied too many times. We no longer trust you. And we implode them, right?
And there should be this other one too. Hashtag so what? Who mm-hmm. cares? Every time right. You hear New York Times, I'm thinking, what are you laughing? The New York Times?
Right.
Do you know anybody who even cares about the New York Times? That's my thing, is to make them ossified and otiose and useless. Listen, if you want to go after
which
somebody,
the FCC chair did say, look, that is happening. We see Joy Reid taking off the air. We see MSNBC sold. We see subscription down across the, you know, the marketplace is taking care of it. They have to either decide to tell the truth or not. We really, even though it doesn't happen on the timeline that I would like to see, we have to allow that to happen if we want to live in a free society.
How does it hurt? But with all due respect, we need these people. I can't explain my position unless I have a boogeyman. Unless I can say, we got to, right. No, I'm serious. We've got to stop this. The worst thing they can do is say, you're right, Natalie. You're right, Clayton. It's like, what the hell are we doing? Redacted becomes what? Dacted? Who wants to hear you if everything's beautiful? This is our bread and butter. This is, we are exterminators and they're bed bugs. We decry them, but we need bed bugs and roaches and rats because that's what we do. We point these things out. But without these people, we are done. And believe it or not, I have learned sometimes more to articulate my opinion by hearing that of my enemy and what they enunciate. I never knew I was right until I heard what these lunatics said. I didn't know anything about I'm here talking about fuzzies. We have, think about this. We used to have Lee Harvey Oswald and Bremer and people who were assassins. Now I've got some guy who's with a roommate who thinks she's a wombat or a fuzzy, furry thing. I mean, this is insanity. None of this makes any sense. So what I'm saying is, in our attempt to get to the truth, let's do it the old-fashioned way, by making them obsolete, by being so brilliant and so smart and so great that nobody listens to this crap, which they don't.
All right. But then again, if they didn't exist, there was no one to tell lies, I would do my laundry. So I don't want to say that I need them for my livelihood. There are things that I could, So anyhow, Lionel, it's great to talk to you.
Hardcore. Your wife is hardcore. You're like Torquemada, lady. Wow.
I know.
Clayton jokes, I love doing laundry. He jokes that he wears the same two underwear because as soon as the laundry basket is like this full, I'm like, I got to do it. I got
to
wash the clothes.
I try to go and do it and she won't let me do it. So I try, but it won't happen.
Go commando. Anyhow, join the team.
Commando.
All right. Watch Lionel's breakdown of the FDA's indictment of the Charlie Cook alleged shooter because the FBI. Who did I say?
FDA.
Anyhow.
That's a story.
Yeah, he's not buying it. We're not buying it. And we'll talk about this more, Lionel, on another day when we have more time. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. Coming up here on the show, we are going to talk about the Fed devaluing the U.S. dollar once again. They just cut interest rates and things are looking pretty bad for the U.S. dollar. What does this mean long term? We're going to talk about that in moments. But first, I'm going to tell you about our friends at Connect Invest, because investing in real estate, you know, has never been easier. And right now with the U.S. dollar plummeting, is your money working for you? Natalie and I are huge investors in real estate, gold and silver, tangible assets. Well, real estate investing has never been easier. Savings accounts, CDs offer very low returns, and they're going to get much worse after today's Fed change, barely keeping up with inflation, if at all, probably, you know, losing money to inflation. Now you can invest in real estate short notes with as little as $500 with annualized returns up to 9%. Yes, you heard me right. Real estate has long been a proven way to build wealth, but for most, the barriers, the high cost, complex management, and lack of time make it seem out of reach. And that's where our friends at Connect Invest come in. With as little as $500, you can start earning fixed monthly returns by investing in short notes. Here's how it works. All you do is go to redacted.inc/invest, sign up today, and you fund your digital wallet with just $500 or more. Like a lot of people invest like tens of thousands. You could just start with 500. And then guess what? You select a short note, 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, totally up to you. And you'll join thousands of investors who are growing their wealth. For a limited time, when you sign up and fund your account today with our special link, you'll receive a $50 bonus in your digital wallet, giving your investment an instant boost. You get a $50 bonus just for signing up. So go to redacted.inc/invest today, sign up and get that $50 bonus today. Stop letting your money sit idle. Invest smarter, earn more, and build wealth with Connect Invest.
And before we talk more about the dollar, the value of the dollar, we want to tell you about our friends over at Armra, because why are elite athletes, business moguls, and high performers using Armra's colostrum? Armra's colostrum is the first whole food that most mammals get. And in fact, if you've ever been a nursing mother, you know this. It's what you make when you start to nurse, is colostrum. It has over 400 bioactive nutrients working at the cellular level to build lean muscle, accelerate accelerate recovery and fuel performance, all without artificial stimulants or synthetic junk. So whether you're running a business, training hard, or just want an edge, Armra optimizes your body for peak output. It helps to have skin repair, hair regrowth, everything for strength and immunity. It naturally fortifies your entire gut wall system. So look into it. Head on over to armra.com/redacted. If you use the code redacted, you'll get 30% off your first subscription order. One more time, that's Armra, armra.com/redacted. Our code is redacted to get your 30% off. armra.com/redacted.
Well, today the Federal Reserve cut rates. Finally, and we predicted this, of course, a number of weeks ago, the Fed cut the benchmark federal funds rate, which, of course, is a key policy rate for, influences borrowing costs. It influences businesses, consumers, governments, mortgages not tied to this. They tend to follow about a year later. But yes, a big cut from the Federal Reserve. We all knew that this was coming. And of course, this is a big moment for the U.S. dollar. This is a further erosion of the U.S. dollar. And what does this mean for gold? What does this mean for silver? What does this mean for our retirement accounts? What does this mean for people that have like a savings account right now? What does this mean for people that are buying treasury bonds, hoping to get some sort of a good return on their investment? Americans right now are trying whatever they can do to make their U.S. dollar stretch as far as possible. So what does this mean? We want to bring in our friend of the show, Kevin DeMeritt. He's the CEO of Lear Capital. He knows this stuff inside and out. We'd like to check in with him from time to time. We are here on a big day, though. Kevin, great to see you.
Great to see you.
So I think, you know, at the 30,000 foot level, what do you think that this means for the U.S. dollar, the further erosion? I mean, I don't want to lead the witness here, but if you've got like a couple thousand dollars in a U.S. savings account in U.S. dollars, like you're a family and you're trying to protect your family and preserve your wealth, and you've got this money sitting in U.S. dollars right now, this is, to me, a big erosion of the value of that U.S. dollar, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, rate cuts absolutely weaken the U.S. dollar. And what you're seeing around the world, even prior to this, is a lot of central banks have already been selling U.S. dollars and swapping it for another asset, which is precious metals. I mean, they've had 3 years of record purchases on the gold market, and it'll probably be the fourth year, especially with this rate cut. I mean, already this year, they're above schedule from last year. I mean, they've purchased more gold this year than they have last year, especially China. So I think this move will accelerate that, and really, if we get some more of these cuts, then the dollar, in my opinion, will start to have many more problems over the next 6 to 9 months.
You know, I had a friend of mine who's a big time investor. He reached out to me today. He said, Clayton, I don't think people understand. Like, people don't understand what's about to happen to the U.S. dollar structurally over the next 4 to 5 years. This is really all about China. And as we've talked, you know, it's really the unwinding of the Bretton Woods Agreement, 80 years of policy that had a U.S. dollar dominance in this world. And now you've seen, you know, as a hedge, you know, as a hedge against the Soviets, as a hedge against communism. But the Obama-Biden era really unraveled this, allowed China to, you know, use U.S. dollars to basically flood our market with goods. And in many ways, you know, handicapped the United States in dramatic ways, the rise of China. But structurally, over the next 4 to 5 years, as China continues to dump U.S. dollars, Japan, all of these countries realigning right now, we're going to see a huge drop off in U.S. dollars over the next 4 to 5 years. Do you agree or disagree with his thoughts?
Well, I agree with his thoughts. And I think what maybe he's trying to explain to people is that when you sell U.S. dollars, if you're a foreign country and selling U.S. dollars, those dollars get repatriated back into the United States. So the definition of inflation or a devaluing dollar is too many dollars chasing too few goods. If you're liquidating literally hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars worth of U.S. treasuries and you're replacing it with something else, let's not worry about the something else right now. But you're just selling off those dollars. They're coming back to the United States. If everybody sold dollars, they're coming back to the United States. All of that money will start to create an enormous amount of inflation. So your example of the person in a savings account, has already taken a 20% drop since 2020 just because of the rate of inflation. Now you accelerate that. So what is the Fed doing right now? They're lowering interest rates. That makes the dollar weaker from a foreign standpoint. The foreigners start liquidating those dollars. Those dollars come back to the United States, and you've got an inflationary problem again. Possibly you have something even worse. You have stagflation. You have kind of this slow economy with inflation all happening at the same time, which is absolutely horrible. Because they're stuck. You can't lower interest rates because the economy, because of the dollar is weakening so much, and can't help the economy to lower interest rates far enough to get that going. So I think the biggest challenge we have right now is stagflation. If you took AI out of the mix in the U.S. economy, I think the economy is pretty close to recession or already in recession. You start lowering interest rates, and now you're going to have the inflation start popping back up.
Can you explain what stagflation is? I've heard this over the past couple of weeks from a number of people that I trust saying that that's really the story here is stagflation. And I think you're absolutely right to bring up AI, because that is where the focus is. By lowering the value of the U.S. dollar right now, by lowering interest rates, all of this sort of investment or push to try to stop China from the rise in AI, that's really what the focus of the Trump administration right now is in the United States, to try to compete with China, which is already really advanced in AI. So I think you're right. If you remove that component, what are we looking at? We just had a jobs report last week. Bloomberg reported, 78,000 jobs, manufacturing jobs lost in the first few months of this year. We're seeing jobs being bled left and right, but we're being told, the economy's fine. So can you just explain stagflation and where do you see the jobs numbers in all of this?
Well, I think the jobs number, I'll start with the jobs numbers first. I think the job numbers get worse and worse. I mean, AI is taking over a lot of industries out there. I mean, I just created a video in a minute and a half with some prompting that I would have had to pay, $3,000 or $4,000 for. Not only did I create the video, but I had a voiceover that was AI that sounded fantastic. So, you knock the whole thing out for about $1.50. There's podcasts out there, that AI is doing that people are starting to listen to. I mean, I just saw a company that put out 1,300 podcasts all on AI. Manufacturing, farming, everything.
That podcast thing is crazy, because I read that the other day. They're just going to flood the market with podcasts that are all AI. Yeah. And even their business model is, hey, even if only a few hundred people listen to each one cumulatively over the thousands of episodes that they release that are all AI, they're going to make money. So they're just going to be flooded with like AI slop, basically.
Yeah. No, it's not thinking. It's just, hey, can I capture your attention for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes so that I can, sell some marketing and make some money with it. So, but, you're putting a lot of people out of work. I had to fly back to Michigan. I sat there and watched, I don't know what it was, a 2,000 acre farm, and the combine's running, a truck right beside it was running, all on AI. It was filling it with gas. The thing never stopped. It just kept going around this field. And I was just absolutely blown away. The farmer, the owner of the farm was like, this is the greatest thing to ever happen. I don't need the 15, 20 people, and they get tired and they get sick and all these other things. I don't need any of them. I can put two combines out there and it'll run, 24/7. You just have to have somebody watching, but that's one person. So that's an issue. The definition of stagflation is where the economy is basically in a recession or just not growing at all. And you have higher inflation than whatever the benchmark is going to be. So let's say the Fed would like to have 2.5% inflation. It might run 3%, it might run 7%, it might run 10%, but it's higher inflation in a very slow economy. And it just puts you in a horrible situation if you're the Fed, because like I said, if you lower interest rates, inflation's going to go higher, the dollar's going to get weaker, and you need to lower those interest rates to try to spur on the economy. Now you add in this AI component. Are you really spurring on the economy, or is just AI doing some of that work and everybody's out of a job, or a lot more people than who would typically be out of a job would be out of a job? And that probably gets worse over the next 4 or 5 years. So it doesn't look good for the US dollar for one big reason, in my opinion, not just these rate cuts, because we've increased interest rates, we've decreased interest rates. It's the amount of debt that the United States government has accumulated that is going to be the nail in the coffin, in my personal opinion. If they don't get that under control, then the interest on the debt, which you just can't get rid of, is already at $1 trillion. What does it look like in 5 years? What does it look like in 10 years? So every dollar they print makes the dollar that's out there worth less. If I can't control that interest on the debt, then they just keep printing $1 trillion a year for as far as the eye can see, or more each and every year.
I mean, just talk about the AI thing. I think you and I were talking offline a couple of weeks ago. We were chatting and I was just saying, I'm really concerned about my son. You know, my son is 15 years old. And, you know, what is his job market going to look like if, you know, he goes off to college and graduates college? Like, what's he going to do? And that's why I'm really pushing him right now into the trades. I'm like, man, learn to be an electrician. Learn to be, you know, start your own plumbing company. Like, learn, you know, carpentry. Learn the hard skills right now, because everything is being, run out of town by AI. And, I just don't know. And now we're moving to, you know, a cashless society. We're moving to a digital currency. And if the United States dollar is backed by stable coins, like the landscape is going to look like totally different in the next 5 years in this country. I don't think we haven't seen anything like this in 80 years with the creation of the Bretton Woods system, with the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency in the world. I just don't think people are prepared for this.
No, and I think, you know, if people think back, it was about 9 years ago, people started talking about a universal, wage. And so everybody gets $2,500 a month, or everybody gets $5,000 a month, or whatever the number is. If you look at the history of money, that's never happened. So what is the ramification of that? If I just, hey, everybody who's below a certain level, we're just going to start giving free money to. Well, debt goes up, dollars go skyrocketing, and inflation. And who pays for it, and how does it all work? And you would need a digital currency for that. But I don't think your dollar goes very far, and your experiences in life, your quality of life, probably don't go very far either. I mean, because you're just going to have to live on that income. AI is much more powerful, and I think the billionaires that are talking about, like Elon Musk, and those guys, they're concerned for a very good reason, because they see the future and how it can change for everybody's employment. I don't care if you're a lawyer. There was just a funding of a AI law where they actually went and put all of the law together that was real, as opposed to the AI going out and looking at Law and Order and pretending like that was an actual case. They put the real law together, and this thing is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you can ask it almost anything. It comes back with the answers. I mean, large law firms are using it. So what happens? Now the interns don't get a shot, because they don't need those interns to do as much, you know, of the research and so on and so forth. So it's just not blue collar. It's the white collar. And I think you're right. You know, the plumbing. Well, AI is building houses, but the plumbing that goes into the house still has to have a person come in there, right? So the 3D printing of the house. But very, very concerning. And if the government cannot get this debt under control, I think you've got a shot that the world's reserve currency is not the U.S. dollar in the next 5 to 7 years.
I think you're 100% right about that. Now, at the beginning, I talked about gold and silver. Obviously, this is your wheelhouse over at Lear. So you watch, you know gold and silver better than just about anybody. But, you know, Natalie and I started investing in gold and silver a number of years ago. And we're trying to do it quarterly, you know, add in more. And the big question I have right now is, maybe this is just a little selfish question, but is now a good time to buy gold and silver? Because the interest rates coming down, a lot of people who bought up a ton of silver and gold over the summer, they knew this was coming. So that's why we saw, I think, the price of gold skyrocketing, hit a new all-time high, silver going up to a 15-year high. So they started buying over the past 3 months. They knew this was coming. So is the price of gold, is it all priced in right now? Meaning, do you think we're going to see a drop in gold prices, a drop in silver, which would be like a great time for me to jump more in and buy up more?
Yeah. Other people? Those short-term fluctuations, it's really hard to say what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis and if something's baked in or if something's not, in my opinion. What I look at is over the long term. You know, you look at Goldman Sachs, they say the price of gold could be $5,000 in the next few years. Look, Goldman Sachs isn't running around trying to push people into gold typically. You know, they like to sell paper assets, a lot easier to move around and so on and so forth. So when they come out and say something like that, you really got to pay attention to why they're saying it. And their main reason was exactly what I said. The U.S. debt has nowhere to go but up. How are we going to stop this debt and the interest on the debt that's already $1 trillion? It's the second largest line item in our budget deficit. So, you know, is it going to be $1.2 trillion, $1.5 trillion, $2 trillion over the next 10 or 15 years? At the pace it's going, it just keeps growing and growing faster and faster. I mean, we had $8 trillion worth of debt in 2008, $8 trillion. So it took 120 some years to get us from zero to $8 trillion and from $8 trillion to 30, what, $7 trillion today. The debt is accelerating like a hockey stick. And if you can't control that, then the price of gold is going to go much higher. Because the price of gold and the amount of debt the United States government has a 97% correlation. So if you think the debt is going to stop today, don't buy any more gold. If you think the debt's going to continue to go up, continue to buy gold. Because even Goldman Sachs, who, if I look back in 20 years, maybe there's three times that they ever recommended gold and thought it was going to go higher, and this is one of them. And they weren't wrong the other two times. They're pretty smart guys. So I would say that if you purchase today and it did pull back, I think you're going to be perfectly fine from 36 or 3,700 all the way up to 5,000.
Well, they're not alone. Bank of America also predicted $4,000 an ounce. I think JP Morgan, right, predicted like $6,000. I mean, they're, so a number of these smart guys are predicting gold at certain prices right now. So, but I think you're right. The debt is the main point here. And I know you guys just put together a really nice new report about that. If anyone wants to grab it for free and learn about it, where can people find that?
Yeah. So we just put out a new special report, The Debt and the Dollar. And it literally is talking about the interest rates. It's talking about the dollars, talking about, you know, if in a couple of different scenarios, where the debt's going to go and what that would do with not just precious metals, but other types of investments, just so you get an idea. It's absolutely free of charge. We also, you know, for all of your listeners, if they mention Redacted or go to LearRedacted.com, as soon as they fill out that information, we automatically place $500 of credit into their account, which they can use not to purchase metals, but for all of their shipping and insurance costs, because metals are fairly expensive to ship back and forth, or their storage fees and IRA fees if they wanted to move a portion of their IRA over. So that's something that we just do, you know, for your program, for your people only. So we'll do that. So LearRedacted.com, or they can give us a phone call at 800-613-3557. And again, if you call, just mention Redacted so that we can get the credit into the account.
Awesome. I really appreciate it. So as we head into I'll get you out of here on this, Kevin, as we head into the end of the year here, you know, people getting ready for Christmas, trying to put presents under the tree, trying to plan their next year here. What do you think we're going to see? Recession, stagflation, recession? Are we already in it? A lot of people think, yeah, we're already in a recession. We're not really admitting it yet.
Yeah, I think within the end of the first quarter of next year, we're probably in a recession. And I don't think it's any surprise to anybody. I mean, I think most people feel that the economy is kind of slowing down a little bit. This is why they're going to lower interest rates. You know, most people say, hey, geez, they're going to lower interest rates because, and that's going to be good for the economy. No, they're lowering interest rates because something's wrong with the economy. They're looking at the jobs reports. They're looking at other indicators and they say, hey, it's probably time. But usually they're behind the curve. By the time you're lowering interest rates, the economy's already slowed down to a point where you're not going to fix it just because you lowered interest rates a quarter of a point. It usually takes three or four decreases and then, you know, a year for it to kind of work through, you know, the economy. So there's some time there that needs to take place.
All right. I guess I'm buying more gold and silver. That's
buy silver
right now.
Most undervalued asset out there, in my opinion, silver.
What's the price on silver this morning? I mean, where are we sitting on silver prices right now?
It's about $41.
A 15-year high, which is right. I mean, I think we're at a 15-year high.
15-year high, and we're still not at all-time highs. It still needs to go to $49. But if you calculate where the silver price was when gold was $2,000 an ounce, it was $49. Here we are at 30, let's call it $600 an ounce. The silver price would have to go up to around $70 to match where we were when gold was $2,000 an ounce. It's literally one of the most undervalued assets out there. Everybody should just take a look at a little silver. We put a free silver report in there, but there's some really great reasons with solar and batteries and everything that's happening in the economy from an industrial side, but also on the investment side, that make it just an incredibly undervalued investment in today's market, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was teaching my son all about it the other day. I told the audience a few weeks ago, we were just taking a walk and walking the dog, and he's, you know, he's starting to learn about investing, and he's like, what should I invest in? I was explaining to him how undervalued silver is right now. So he took some of his allowance money, he started investing in silver. So anyway, gotta get that message out there. Wall Street doesn't want you to know about it. Kevin, great to see you as always. Thank you so much for this. And we're going to see over the next few weeks what actually happens here in this economy. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Clayton.
And thanks so much, Kevin. We appreciate it as always. And thanks to all of you for being a part of our great show here. We really appreciate it. Thank you for being an incredible part of our audience. Thank you for subscribing. And I just want to say to the tens of thousands of new subscribers that we've had over the past 30 days, welcome aboard. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining this truth movement. We have no agenda here on this show, just trying to seek the truth wherever it leads us. And sometimes if it gets uncomfortable, then you know you're probably over the target. And you're probably onto the correct thing here. So that's kind of our mission here, you know, get uncomfortable. Hey, we have a daily newsletter I'd love for all of you to check out. If you just go to redacted.inc, that's our website, and you'll see a big newsletter button. Just click on that and then just put in your email address. You'll receive a welcome email from me. It might go to your spam folder or your junk folder or something like that. Just drag it over to your inbox. So tomorrow morning when you wake up over your cup of coffee, you'll read our newsletter. And like we publish it, you know, you can read it about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee. We try to cover 4 or 5 of the big stories of the day that the news media kind of ignores. We try to cut through the propaganda. Like this morning's newsletter, we covered, of course, what's going on with Charlie Kirk and the FBI's weird response to all of this. So we covered that in the newsletter as well as a lot of other stories. But anyway, redacted.inc is the place to go. It's our great way to stay connected to you. And yes, hundreds of thousands of you are subscribed to our newsletter. So thank you so much for your support. All right, we'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Keep it right here on Redacted and have a great night, everyone.